about community activities, food and leisure, local issues, and of course, some Tucson history.
Like, do you know how Broadway Boulevard got its name? Our great-grandpa Fred decided that any city worth its salt had to have a Broadway Boulevard.
Wow, that's great. Tune in to the Fred and Jeff Show Thursdays at 6 p.m. to learn all kinds of fascinating facts just like that.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure...
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
...the Fred and Jeff Show.
Good afternoon, Tucson. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt.
And I'm his handsome brother, Jeff.
And you can join us on our electronic companion to the show at fredandjeff.com. Today we're going to have a really cool show.
Should be fun today, huh?
It's going to be really nice. We have Charlie Spiller in the studio with us. He is...
That would be Spillar.
I'm sorry, Spillar.
Charlie Spillar.
Charlie Spillar. He is working with a whole bunch of people trying to bring the drive-in back to Tucson. And I was doing a little bit of internet research. It was fun to find out that... The only nickname I could find for a drive-in is the Passion Pit.
Does that apply to when you went to the drive-in, Fred?
Actually, I can't.
Let's talk about something else.
Yeah, let's talk about something else. Also in the studio with this this beautiful afternoon, we're in, you know, from the Jolt studio, we can look outside the window and watch all these beautiful rain clouds rolling in, is Tony Zinman. You may remember Tony Zinman from such past radio shows as The Tinderbox. And the Tinderbox.
That's
and,
right.
He is actually one of our arts correspondents. He's agreed to be our third wheel of this show, and we're going to have a little bit of fun with Tony. Hello,
well,
Tony.
And really,
hi.
Hey, Tony. And I was talking with Tony earlier today. And he said, Tony's like, so what's going to happen on the show today? Well, we got Charlie Spillar from the Cactus Drive. Oh my gosh, I said, well, Tony, come down and join us.
Well, I got excited because I have so many great memories of going to the De Anza, you know, when I was college and just seeing so many great movies there, and it's just so sad that we lost that. You know?
Well, yeah, and our kids aren't at this point in time don't have an opportunity to go to a drive-in in Tucson.
Actually, you know, the first time we saw an R-rated movie, my brother was there with me. My parents couldn't find a babysitter, so we got shoved in the back of the car.
What was the movie?
It was MASH, I think.
Oh yeah, I remember
that. And we were put in the back. We have Suburban, and they put us in the back, put sleeping bags in, some food. And told us not to pop our heads up above the seats.
Threw in a pack of smokes.
Well, you know, and it's one of my pet peeves is, you know, for me, movies are like a temple, you know, it's like a sacred place. And when there's a little kid crying, it drives me insane. So I've complained and gotten free tickets and whatnot. But,
what? What okay, are you complain at a drive-in?
And no, I'm talking about in a theater.
Gotcha.
It drives
me
crazy. But when our son was a baby, we go to the drive-in because we don't want to serve other people, and we saw these great double features of things. And the second double feature is something you might not have even seen, like we saw with The Others with Nicole Kidman, which I wouldn't have seen it. Great movie, you know?
All right. That's outstanding.
Well, so, you know what? One of the things I love doing at the drive-in, and, you know, unfortunately we don't have one anymore, but we sit out at the De Anza on our lawn chairs. A little bit of adult beverage, tequila for me. You know, I know other people probably enjoyed other things. And then I enjoyed a nice big cigar.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy who can tell us all about what cigar goes with the drive-in movie is Big Mike from the Tinderbox.
Hey, Big Mike.
Hey, Big Mike. How you doing?
How are you?
Good, good.
Excellent.
What's that?
I said excellent.
Well, good. What is the cigar of the week?
Hey, this week... I went a little milder, and this week I went with the Ashton Classic.
Oh, that's a good smoke.
Yeah, it's a great little smoke, and I put it somewhere, well, they call it a medium body, but I'm going to say it's somewhere between light and medium. It's a really good smoke. The entire cigar is, all the tobacco is 3 to 4 years old. It's got a Dominican filler and binder, and the wrapper is the best thing about this cigar. It's got a rich gold color to it. It's a Connecticut shade wrapper. Very delicate, hardly any noticeable veins in the wrapper. It's a real good tasting cigar, really well balanced. And when I smoke it, every now and then I get little nuances of a little peppery spice thrown in there every so often on a puff or two. It's a great smoke. Comes in 15 different sizes. and it's a great little smoke by Ashton.
15 different sizes, Mike.
Yeah, they make a lot of sizes on this one. It's their mainstay.
Now tell me, why would someone prefer one size over another?
Well, not one thing is time that you have to smoke. You know, some people only can dedicate a half an hour or so to a cigar, be it on a break at work, or, you know, a little quick little smoke, and some people want to spend an hour and a half or 2 hours with a cigar. And the other thing that, the one main thing that changes the flavor of a cigar, it's actually the ratio between the binder and filler and the wrapper. So they actually, on the 15 sizes, they will taste different. They're close in taste, but if you have something that's like a small little Corona, it's going to taste completely different than something like a Churchill size, which is like 7 inches long. It's, like I said, it's mainly the ratio between the wrapper and the binder filler that gives you the different taste in all cigars. Every single cigar is like that.
So I could take a Robusto, which is, what, about a 5-inch cigar and a 42 gauge.
No, it's a little fatter than that. It's like 5x50.
Okay, so 5x50, and that would taste same wrap, same everything, and that would taste different than a Churchill.
Slightly, yeah, because it's the ratio. So if you sat there and smoked them back to back, you probably would notice some slight changes.
Right.
If you smoke the cigar once a week or once a month, you're probably not going to notice that much of a difference between, because you're only talking about a 2-inch difference in length and about a two ring gauge size on the thickness. So it's not going to be that much difference between those two. But something as little as like a little Corona, which is like 4 inches with a 38 ring gauge, and something that might have a 54 ring gauge at 6 inches long, there's going to be a little different.
All right.
A little difference.
Now remind us, Mike, what is the Cigar of the Week? What's the deal?
It's the Ashton Classic, and it's buy three, get one free, and we're still located at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard in Suite 124. Phone number is 747-4807, and you're welcome to come into the store anytime. We have a lounge there and a flat-screen TV. Everyone's welcome to kick back, have a cigar. If you're in a hurry, you can buy and fly.
What?
And I'm sure they're watching the
soccer
right now.
Yeah, we're playing Ghana, Saturday, I believe, right?
Yeah, how many Vuvuzelas have you seen coming to the store?
I have seen a total of zero Vuvuzelas.
That's very good. We'll make sure we get Michael Guyman to bring his.
Oh, no. He is a big soccer nut. That is true.
I love him.
All right, Big Mike from the Tinderbox. Thanks again. The Cigar of the Week is the Ashton. And we'll see you guys on the other side of the break.
Hi, Dr. Kevin Lehman. Want to see the fastest draw in all the West? Want to see it again? Anyway, if you're looking for somebody to take care of those termites that you've got in your house, do yourself a favor. Call my friend Shelby Hawkins over at 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. They do a great job, they're economical, and they're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
Hi, I'm Shelby Hawkins. Call us at 5-Star Termite and Pest Control at 886-0045.
A made-to-order, providing Tucson with quality housekeeping service since 1988. We can handle all your house cleaning needs, from one-time, move-outs, weekly, monthly, and on-call service available at your request. Our housekeepers are trained to make your house sparkle and shine. A made-to-order is even open on Saturdays, and credit cards are welcome. Let a made-to-order show you what we can do for you. 790-3195, 790-3195. A made-to-order, woman-owned and detail-focused.
Hi, I'm John Fina from Performance Footwear, and a lot of people think that after I finished playing pro football, my health insurance would not be an issue. Not true. So when I needed a great health plan for me and my family, I called the folks at Ronstadt Insurance. They hooked us up with the perfect policy from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, and we couldn't be happier. So if you're shopping for health insurance, give my friends at Ronstadt Insurance a call at 721-4848. They'll be happy to help you. Oh, and when my mom and dad turned 65, my friend Jim at Ronstadt Insurance helped them find the right Medicare plan. Call the pioneers in good service at Ronstadt Insurance, and they'll help you buy the right policy the first time.
Ronstadt Insurance is a full-service insurance agency. Give us a call at 721-4848 or look us up online at ronstadtinsurance.com. Ronstadt Insurance is an authorized agent for Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona. A representative may call you.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Okay, go, Tony.
Go.
What am I doing? Well, we're here talking about the Deons at Drive-In, and there's just so many wonderful memories of going there. You know, it's...
That's so unfair.
You're on.
That's so unfair.
That's okay. You know,
we were getting ready
to
start.
Great. No, you're doing great. Yeah. Keep on going.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, these days, it's freaking $9.50 to see a movie at Park Mall, and... You know, if it's something like Iron Man 2 or Toy Story 3, that's an incredible experience. That's great. But if it's something like Marmaduke the movie that your kids want to see, it's highly questionable. And but when the Deons was open, not only could you see the movie that wasn't that good, but you got a double feature. So I remember seeing Bedtime Stories with Adam Sandler and the Devereaux, the mouse movie.
Oh, The Adventures of Devereaux?
Yeah, and you know, at the drive-in, they were great. But Devereaux, Despereaux.
You were asleep during that one, right?
Well, it reminds me of an old story. I remember I was with my first girlfriend at one in Pico Rivera, California, and we were watching The Neverending Story. We weren't really watching the movie, you know? And I said, oh, this is a great movie, The Neverending Story. She says, yes, The Neverending Story is a great movie. I'm like, oh, man, I'm in trouble.
How long was she your girlfriend for?
Senior year.
Well, we got to tell you folks out there, that was pretty funny. We were sitting here at Hall looking at each other, waiting to come back into the break, and I looked at Fred and go, all right, let's talk to Charles now. Get into what we want to talk about today. And Fred's like, wait. And then he totally dumped that on Tony. So, Tony, I think that was a great
recovery. That was spectacular.
Those guys awesome. Rock. These
Trial
guys.
By fire right there, Tony. So, Charles, let's talk about what is going on. People like Tony, people like me, Fred, you know, we grew up going to the drive-in. We have young kids, and our young kids love the drive-in experience. It was economical. It was fun. We could see movies that, Tony's right, you don't feel like you're, you know, getting taken to the cleaners by seeing some questionable movie that the kids, you know, that we went and saw the Chipmunks movie. Yeah. Terrible movie. But the kids loved it. Mm-hmm. So tell us, we really appreciate you and what you're doing. Tell us what's going on.
Well, I didn't actually throw my body in front of the bulldozers, but I'm fairly close to it to save the last screen, which is that CinemaScope screen. It was probably one of the first CinemaScope screens in a drive-in.
No kidding.
I think they erected it in 1956.
Now, it had to be before 1956 because the first show...
No, it was 1951 when the theater was there, but then they went when they, you know, the CinemaScope came out. So that's when they did the big wide screen thing.
Oh, okay.
So it was 1956.
So the CinemaScope screen was it wasn't a material thing. It was just a length.
The width. Yeah.
The width of the.
I don't know the exact dimensions. I know we've been, you know, I've been helping, you know, move the parts, and there's a lot of parts.
Yeah.
To
now, how did you guys get? So let's backtrack a little bit because you have a history.
We need to slow up a little bit because we're getting way ahead of ourselves. So, Charlie, you are part of an organization called the Cactus Drive-In.
Yeah, we're going to be forming a nonprofit called the Cactus Drive-In. Right now, we're operating under the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation.
And you guys have a history of saving stuff around town.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, actually, I met Demian Klinko, that's the executive director of the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation, when I saved all the sculptures from the magic carpet. And
great.
The last thing we wanted to save was the neon sign, which was fairly historic because that's like a Tucson icon.
Absolutely.
And so Damien's group came in and worked with me, and we came up with some money to move it, and it's in the process of being restored right now.
And then what are you going to do with it?
Well, it's going to be part of it's going to be pretty phenomenal. They're actually going to be doing a neon sign park. There's two other neons that his organization is able to save. And they did a big fundraiser not that long ago at the rooftop of the Hotel Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got funding now, so these signs are being restored. So they'll still be historical, and they'll be in an area probably around Pima Community College down in the Oracle Drachman area in that area. I'm not sure exactly where the exact property is, but that's coming up.
Well, I just want to say what they did with the Magic Carpet Drive-In really did majorly improved Tucson. I mean, I live near 4th Avenue. I see that tiki every day. I go to the Valley of the Moon a few times a year. Those sculptures there are great. They really saved part of the past, and they made a better future. So,
that's great.
Yeah, no, because, you know, we're trying to keep Tucson weird, kind of like what they say in Austin, because that's what make, you know, it's things like the magic carpet and the De Anza and things like this that make Tucson unique rather than just another Phoenix or San Jose or
absolutely
something that looks all alike, you know.
So you had great success with the magic carpet. You got community involvement. You got businesses to step up. You made some money. You made the difference. And then you jumped on the De Anza. What happened there? How? I mean,
I don't know. I think I must have fallen on my head when I was a child. Take on. It was like Dan Sorensen said the other day. He's the guy that wrote the story on the article on the Arizona Star Monday.
Right.
He said, Charlie, what you're doing is like pushing a boulder up a hill.
A boulder four times the size of you,
yeah. And, you know, that's what it is. But once you're up the top, just realize that, you know, it can roll down pretty easily. So once you get to the top of the hill, and that's where we're headed now. So we've saved the screen. We've got a gentleman by the name of George Kahn. He's literally a drive-in historian here in town. And he's found us two complete projector systems and two sound systems that he has donated to the Cactus Drive-In project.
Oh, that's great.
Wow. So we've got, you know, we've got projectors, we've got a screen. Now we just got to find the right property, and I'm working with the city people, you know, city government, Karen Ehrlich's office, and some people in the city planning office and other people in the city government trying to help us to find some property where we can resurrect this opportunity for Tucson. And we kind of want to do it in a 50s kind of style, because that's when the drive-ins really were spreading out all over the country.
Yeah.
So we want to make it a drive-in experience, not just a drive-in, but it's going to be an experience, almost like going back in time if we're able to do what we want to do.
Does that include the poles and the speakers that you put on your car? And
we've thought about going that way, but what's happened in the last, I think it was after the 70s, they started using what's called FM transmitter.
Right.
So you use your car. So if you got a really good sound system in your car, you know, you can really get a good sound system watching the movie.
Well, yeah, the last time when we went to the Chipmunks movie, we actually took a boom box and we set it in front of us and had the sound coming at us.
Wow.
And there were a lot of people that were doing that.
Because people
there.
What happened is with the old system, people would drive off and rip the window off or rip the speaker off, and, you know, it was like a madhouse. So,
but, you know, that too is part of drive-in history.
We're actually looking at that. We know we're going to do, because this one, we want this to be a walk-in, bike-in, drive-in. So if you're on your bicycle, you're going to need a light on your bike, but if you walked in, there's going to be a place to sit out by the screen. So you could sit outside.
Oh, bring a lawn chair?
Yeah, a lawn chair. We might have chairs already out there.
That's
so
outstanding.
Would you be showing older movies from that era, you think?
Well, we're trying to do some of the classics. I don't know. We're working that out now. We're actually working with the Loft Cinema Management and the Rialto Theater Management, because we want to have musical performances, maybe even dramatic performances. I want to have a cash flow coming from in the daytime, like farmers markets, antique car shows, antique furniture shows.
Okay, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you've kind of jumped three sections ahead here. So so we're looking for a piece of dirt. How big is that?
Well, we need at least 4 acres.
Okay, and on that 4-acre piece of land, you'll construct this CinemaScope, this original CinemaScope that was the Cactus Drive-In. But that's not all. You've got a whole master plan for all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, we want to, you know, we have a concession stand. We've got to develop our projection booth. You know, you have to put in the little rows where when you park your car, you know, you're slanted.
Yeah.
Little hills, that type thing. We might possibly be thinking about a playground, because if you know, if you got young kids,
get a playground.
You know, they don't want to sit in the car, so you can go. If you have the intermission, you can take them there.
When Fred and I were growing up, our mom and dad would always take us to the Prince Drive-In,
Prince and Campbell.
Yeah, northeast corner of Prince and Campbell.
Wow.
And that's where we would go, and we saw all kinds of goofy movies there, but they had a great little playground. And it's kind of like, the only movie that comes to my vision right now, my mind right now, where you actually see a drive-in is Grease. Remember the part where they're in the drive-in and you know, he makes the moves on her and she rejects him, mm-hmm. and he goes and swings on the swings and sings her a sad song.
Stranded at the drive-in.
That's right. Well, that could have been the playground at the Prince drive-in. That whole
wow.
setup.
Wow.
So to do a playground, that's a great idea.
Yeah, because you know when you get what's happened, say in the 70s. You know, the drive-ins got a reputation for kind of like love pits. You know, that was the peer-to-peer free loves. But as the 80s came about, it's much more family-oriented now. Let's face it, the next-door neighbor to George took his wife and four kids, to a regular cinema. And between the admission price and the refreshments, spent $100.
Oh, wow. Easy. Yeah, easy.
So, you know, with the drive-in, you know, you can... You know, get a pizza or whatever, you know.
Yeah, pizza and a case of beer and
whatever.
We have more fun stories. I know we got to take a break in a minute, but what we really want to talk about is, so you've got this idea to have the drive-in, you create it like it might have been in the 50s.
Yeah.
But a minute ago, you were talking about a farmer's market and a stage.
Yeah, that's during the daytime is what we want to do, that type of a thing. Because to sustain itself financially, you know, it has to generate a cash flow.
Sure.
So just with the one screen, a movie at night,
it's not going
to
do
probably it. Not going to cover all the expenses that you need to be able to get happening. So it's going to be kind of an entertainment complex somewhat.
Oh, that's outstanding.
It's one of the things about cash flow is we need to make sure that we get our cash flow. And we want to thank all of our sponsors who contribute to making the Fred and Jeff show. So we want you, one, to go to fredandjeff.com to check out our sponsors, and that is the electronic companion to the Fred and Jeff show.
And two, we also have a weekly newsletter we send out. So if you'd like to get our newsletter where we talk about who we're having on the show, we kind of give a hint of the question, the trivia question.
I think it's more than a hint.
Well, yeah, we kind of give the answer and the hint. But if you'd like to get our email, just send us an email to fred@fredandjeff.com, and we'll put you on the list and send it to you, too.
Yeah, and it's beautiful, full-color, constant contact email.
Fabulous picture of me.
And if you have a high detailed printer, you can print it out and frame it. Suitable for framing.
Suitable for framing, right. Yeah, but it... So, but remember, our sponsors really appreciate you supporting them as they've supported us.
Yeah, and actually one of our fun sponsors, and actually I spent a couple bucks with one of our sponsors today. We have a dozen free roses, beautiful roses, from Mayfield Florists. And the way to get those is to go to either fredandjeff.com, which we would prefer, or go straight to cactusdriveintheater.com. And you will find the trivia question.
You'll find the answer to the
trivia
question.
You will find the answer.
Because we haven't given the trivia question
yet. We have not given. That's right. But you'll find the answer. The answer's there. And just as we roll out talking about roses, I want a quick shout out to two beautiful women who deserve a lot of roses, Missy and Wendy. I'll be talking to you after the show. Why can't you see what you're doing to me?
This is Tucson's Jolt.
You have no idea who you're dealing with.
KJLL, South Tucson.
Connecticut after a severe storm hit the town.
In seconds, it just turned black, and you couldn't see across the street, and it just got like foggy, crazy hard rain.
No injuries, but lots of damage. Forecasters still trying to figure out whether or not it was a tornado. Well, the BP oil spill is forcing Florida officials to close off some of their famous beaches to swimmers. The ban includes waters from the Park West Recreation Area to just west of Portofino. The U.S. Senate fails again to approve another extension of federal unemployment benefits. Republicans are blocking the bill until Democrats come up with a way to pay for it. Lots of finger pointing between the two major parties, but here's something they all might want to consider. A new CNN opinion research survey finds that a majority of Americans now say they are angry at Republicans and Democrats alike. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
We With me today is motorcycle owner Dan. Like most people, Dan is looking for ways to save money. He tries to save on gas by roller skating to the grocery store.
It's hard carrying all those bags.
He uses a hand crank radio.
It's a good workout.
And he even cooks by candle heat.
The scented ones give great flavor.
But you don't have to be like Dan, because GEICO makes it easy to save on motorcycle insurance. To see how much you could save, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-442-9253.
Meet Archer Fish Solo, the first thinking camera with built-in Homeland Security technology.
I like that a video security camera is smart enough to do all the work for me.
I just tell Solo what to watch for, and when it happens, it sends a video alert to my cell phone. And I only see what I want because Solo filters out the random stuff my old motion detection system couldn't.
When it comes to my family, I want the most effective technology out there.
Learn more about video monitoring done right at thinkingcamera.com.
Stocks lower, sending the S&P to its longest losing streak in 7 weeks. I'm John Lamb at Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York. Bank of America and J.P. Morgan Chase down more than 2.2%. Leading banks lower on concern over financial regulation. Stocks also lower after the cost to protect from a Greek default surged to a record, while consumer shares retreated. Retailers slumping after Bed Bath & Beyond missed earnings estimates. Those shares down 5.6%. Bloomberg's Laura Lee is on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange.
Investors and traders down here just not really finding a lot of reasons to be optimistic and to take the risk into buying equities at this moment.
Nike shares down 4% as its sales trail projections. Dell declining 6.4% after its 2011 forecast disappointed some investors. The Dow down 146 at 10,153. The S&P losing 18 at 1074. The Nasdaq down 37 at 2217. That's a Bloomberg Market Minute.
Why did Temco Air Environmental win the Better Business Bureau's Ethics Award?
We do what we say we're going to do, when we say we're going to do it, at the price we quoted.
Check us out with the Better Business Bureau or the Registrar of Contractors.
Temco Air Environmental, for all your heating and cooling needs.
Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's mightiest. Located at 22nd and Craycroft, open 7 days a week, Charlie's is a full-service comic shop. New comics, back issues, all your collecting supplies, action figures, T-shirts, and more. No subscription too small. Monthly shipping available. Call 320-0279. That's 320-0279. Or click on charliescomics.com. Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's mightiest.
Duffield Adamson Helen Bolton Fletcher PC is a preeminent law firm whose attorneys serve Southern Arizona's community in practice areas of estate planning, probate and trust administration, elder law, guardianship and conservationships, business formation and real estate transactions. Our goal is to provide the highest quality legal services to you and your business in a timely fashion. We welcome the opportunity to talk to you to discuss how we may be of service. There are two Duffield Adamson Helen Bolton Fletcher PC locations. The main office located in Northwest Tucson at Lawn Quintana Mall on Sunrise Drive. The Green Valley located in Green Valley Village. The Tucson office number is 792-1181. Web address is duffieldlaw.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt, and I'm here along with my trusty sidekick,
Jeff Ronstadt.
I forgot your name.
Oh,
I apologize.
Lord. Oh, good Lord.
And our guy that we just put on the spot, Mr. Tony Zimmern.
Hello.
Appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much.
And our guest, Charlie Spillar.
So, Charlie, I really want to – the thing that intrigues me the most about this project, I think – and Fred and I talked about this. We've been talking about this. It started with the Magic Carpet Golf Course and – when, you know, when Chapman Automotive went in and bought that property and it just wasn't going to, they weren't going to keep it a miniature golf course anymore, you and your group stepped in and said, wait a second, there's all of these treasures that people in Tucson have grown up with for decades. We can't just throw them out with, you know, with the garbage. We got to do something. And you guys stepped up. What, tell us, kind of give us a the end of story. What happened to most of that stuff?
Well, it actually started with Steve Farley called the I was spokesman for the Valley of the Moon at the time, and we were thinking that to save all these sculptures, maybe we can move them all to the back lot of the Valley of the Moon until we could find a place for them. Of course, no one realized at that time that of the weight of those things. you know, the tiki head when we moved it off its shoulders was something like 55,000 pounds.
Wow.
They're all made out of concrete
and
steel.
Concrete, yeah.
No kidding.
So, you know, it wasn't an easy task. Plus, a few neighbors, when they heard about it, they didn't want to. You know, 40-foot tiki head in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So then we, you know, we did that event called One Last Round. I think it was April 26, like 2 years ago. And that was really successful.
Now, what happened? What was that?
It was, what we did is cleaned up the magic carpet and had one day of One Last Round. I mean,
right.
We had people coming in from all over the United States.
Wow.
Play golf.
Yeah, that's... That's amazing. I mean, because I know the three of us, we played golf there when we were kids.
Right.
You know, and so that place
it was an experience, and it was part of, you know, really was an icon for Tucson. So it's kind of like we needed to save it.
And, absolutely.
And I'm a sculptor, and I had a unfortunate thing. I built a sculpture, I think it was 12 foot by 16 foot tall, you know, concrete and steel, but with mosaics.
Right.
And then when we sold the property, the first thing the guy did was tear it down and put a driveway.
Oh,
and, you know, and so I thought I got to, you know, I'm not going to let that happen to these works of art.
Good for you.
You know, so.
So what happened to him? Give us the rundown. Where's the bull? Where's
we know the tiki head is over at the Hut on 4th Avenue.
Right.
And then we got the bull is over at O'Shaughnessy's, you know, song club over there.
On Tanque Verde.
El Camino, or Camino Principal.
Right.
And then the T-Rex has been restored and repainted, and it's down at Ansep Metals. I think it's on East Tennessee off of Contractor's Way out there.
Is it in the front of their building?
Oh,
is
it's right by his office, and they got the big red eyes glaring. It's been totally repainted, so it looks phenomenal.
That's great.
Like, he's even using it on his T-shirts, you know, the T-Rex. So, and then, I don't know, the Buddha's out in the property somewhere out in the Vail area. I haven't visited it yet. And then we have four sculptures. We have the old stump, the pygmy hut, the magic castle, and the spider web is at the Valley of the Moon. And they've all been landscaped, concreted in, and it's kind of quite a feature in the front part of the park, which for years was kind of like boring. You know, the magical stuff that George Farr Legler created was in the back part of the Valley of the Moon. Now the front and the back is pretty magical.
Wow.
I went there both before and after, and I found that the Valley of the Moon is completely revitalized. It really is magical again.
Yeah.
Now for the folks that are listening to our show that don't know what the Valley of the Moon is, give them a little brief.
Right. The Valley of the Moon was actually created in the 1920s by a guy named George Farr Legler. And he had developed what he did. He did stuff for children. And he actually he was invited to a minister's house one day, and I think it was a 14-year-old young child, and she had what was called at that time consumption, which is tuberculosis. And at the foot of her bed, there was a large window. And so he decided that outside that window, he would create this little magic land for her. And he created like a little stone mountain, the waterfall, and then had a bucket with goldfish in it, and had a ladder up the top of the mountain. So he told her that anytime she wanted to, she could leave that ill body with her mind and climb up those stairs and go to anywhere she wanted to in the world, into the fantasy land. And it had such an effect on her that she lived for two more years.
Wow.
And he did this to several other people, and then he decided... He went back, I think it was 1923, for almost 10 years, he just started building this magical place for children. And he conducted tours until, I think it was like 1967. And then he shut it down, and then some kids climbed the fence, because as youngsters, they weren't sure this was really a real place or not. They thought maybe it was in their mind, a dream, because it's kind of a wild, you know, it's very unusual.
Right.
And so he was still alive. He was living on the property. He thought they were vandals because they had had vandals in. But anyway, they had a long conversation and brought him back to life, and he started tours again.
Oh, that's great.
And it's a pretty magical place.
Now, who's running it now?
It's the George Farr Legler Society. It's a group of dedicated people. It's all volunteers. No one gets paid. So they're doing events. I think they're having an event. I think it's in the first week in July, they're doing an Alice in Wonderland again, right, just for a one-day free deal.
Really?
And they, just to kind of say the other things that they do, every Halloween, they do a terrific Halloween show. It's great for the little, if you want to expose your little kids to their first Halloween activity, it's not scary. It's really fun. They always do a spring show. I think last year we saw The Princess Bride. It's just a great experience. And if anybody has never been, I would
highly recommend it.
Take your kids, yes.
Wow, yeah, that's
great. At one point it was open for fundraising. Do they still allow that?
They do. They only do two fundraisers a year. That's the spring show and the Halloween show.
But people, if I recall, at some point they were allowing people to rent the place. And
yeah, they're actually starting that again to rent it out, primarily for weddings and birthday parties. Because what happened is we were able to raise enough money through donations from the Magic Carpet Sculptures that they were able to put grass back into their amphitheater area. And we got donations of something like 80 different plants from a group called Half Price Carbon Credits. So they've got, I think we put in something like 150 flowers and plants. And so it's totally, you know, brought back to life again.
That's amazing. It is just a testament to the fact that folks like you will help this community keep its character. You know, doing things like that are what make the city of Tucson great, because my kids can see stuff that I saw, that my folks saw, that, you know, quite frankly, our grandparents saw. It might be moved from, you know, East Speedway to, you know, Prince and Tucson Boulevard, but it's still there.
Well, we're getting into this culture where, you know, everything is almost virtual reality. You've got with TV and computers, the kids aren't living the experiences that like they used to when we were growing up, and through your work they can now. So right.
That's one of the neat parts of the Valley of the Moon that I tell people. It's like if you watch TV or even if you go to Disneyland, you see the imagination of some other people that you're watching it. But at the Valley of the Moon, it's the children's imagination that's at work.
That's
amazing.
I
mean, it's the most amazing thing to see their eyes at Halloween or during the spring show. You know, for like a 10-year-old or 6-year-old or 3-year-old, it's really magical. And it's because their mind is looking for the fairies and gnomes.
Well, and it also, I mean, not just the children. It, for the adults, when you go, it brings out the child in you. So.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's a great
thing.
So,
I mean, that's why, you know, you're saying you're taking it for the kids, but the truth is you're taking it for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You're able to play like a child again.
Sure.
And you can say, well, I did it for my child.
we went and saw Toy Story 3 over the weekend, and it was a fantastic movie. But the funny part about it is, usually when the kids want to see a movie, my wife Tiana and I will kind of say, all right, do you want to take them? But both of us are like, well, do you want to go? Because I kind of want to go. And
no.
I mean, it is, when there are events like that, you want to relive that part. It's not only see your kids enjoy it for the first time, but you're kind of living vicariously through them as they enjoy it.
Well, Jeff, my question for you is, I've heard about many adults tearing up at this movie. Did you tear up?
Like a baby.
Well, because I'm a guy, I didn't want to admit it. I had the glasses on, so I'm like, I can hide this. But then after the movie, my son admitted to me that for the first time he cried in a movie. I had to admit to him I cried too.
Wow, that's there at towards the end there of the movie when they were sliding. I don't want to give it away for anyone that's not seen it, but all of our heroes are in peril. I actually picked my son up out of his seat, set him on my lap, and hugged him,
wow,
and crying. I mean, it's just amazing.
Wow. It was one of the best movies of the year.
Great movie.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Well, since we've sort of segued into contemporary movies, let's talk about, we're up to our last commercial break, and we do have our trivia question for The Dozen Roses,
right,
from Mayfield Florists, our buddies over at Mayfield.
The Coleman Boys.
And yep. They treat us, I mean, they treat everybody well.
My birthday was the other day, and Don sent over a huge bouquet of sunflowers. It was spectacular, just spectacular. So they do a great job. What did you get?
Nothing.
So on to the break, Fred.
No. Okay, well, Don's getting a call for this show. All right, so the trivia question, we'll start taking calls on the other side of the break. I'm just like shocked and stunned. I was going to say, I just bought, or, you know.
Let him
I'm
go so, to the break, Fred.
All right. All right, so the trivia question, my friend, my brother.
Yes.
What day did the cactus drive-in theater open? We talked about the year, but we're looking for the day. And to get that answer, go to fredandjeff.com. Click on
the Cactus Drive-In logo.
The Cactus Drive-In logo, and you will find the answer.
And we'll give you a hint. The movie was The Gal Who Took the West, starring Yvonne DiCarlo and Charles Coburn.
And it was in Technicolor.
It was in Technicolor. Were you there? All right, we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Well, she's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner.
At Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that'll exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
Power Women Investing, an award-winning comprehensive financial services firm, offers customized programs designed to help grow and conserve your wealth. We encourage you to explore our website at powerwomeninvesting.com and learn more about the services we provide. If you would like to make an appointment, call us at 571-9053. That's 571-9053.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout Southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
Visit The Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
All right, what we forgot to do, and we always forget this.
Well, don't say we forgot it.
Oh.
Act like it's natural.
Oh, hey, guess what? If you want to call us and answer that trivia question, the number is 529-3508. 529-3508. And the phone lines might be full right now, but we're going to keep talking over here, and we'll take some calls in a minute. 529-3508.
And just to remind you, we want to know the day.
The day.
The Cactus Theater, the original Cactus Theater opened.
The day in 1951 that movie, The Gal Who Took the West.
In Technicolor.
In Technicolor. Thank you, Fred. So during the break, after Fred got over the fact that he didn't get a very beautiful thing from the Coleman boys, we were talking about the neons down on Drachman. The Neon Park, you were telling us a little bit about that. Tell us about...
Yeah, well, the one that's there right now, Dirk Arnold, is a public art project. And it was his feeling because that was the gateway into Tucson. A lot of people didn't realize that. Miracle Mile, actually, they called it Miracle Mile because it was the first four-lane highway in America.
Really?
Wow. And so it was safe. That's why they call it a miracle, because there's a line, you know, some kind of a little island between the four lanes. So it actually originated from where we call Miracle Mile, then it went into Oracle, and then it went all the way to downtown. It went down Drachman to Stone all the way to downtown.
Right.
That was the entrance to Tucson. And so when Dirk Arnold created the sculpture, he felt, you know, because all those drive-ins and all the different places that were on Miracle Mile. I mean, it's got a history. If you ever really research the history, you'd be amazed. And neon was a very important part of that, because that's when the automobiles It was actually, I think, Eisenhower put the interstate highways through, so people started driving their cars. And at first, they bought Airstreams because there was no place to stay. And then as the cars kept going, then they built motels, and they had these big, gaudy neon signs.
Right, you know, try to pull them in,
Stay here, and that was the gateway to Tucson. And there actually was some famous nightclubs there. I think a lot of the movie stars stayed in those places, like the place was called College Place now. It's a real luxury place for college students. And I think it was either, I can't remember what, it was Hilton, it was some major hotel. And that's where a lot of the movie stars stayed that worked on High Chaparral. You know, we're out at the old Tucson studios. I think John Wayne might have stayed at one of the places, too.
Oh, that's great.
So there's a lot of rich history there that they're actually starting to bring back.
Yeah, you know, what's funny is you go around Tucson and you go to some of the older places, like, for instance, the Fox. There's a chair at the Fox Theater that's called the John Wayne seat because that's where he sat when he watched movies at the Fox.
Wow.
Yeah, and I didn't know that. I was lucky enough to go down and see Poco play there last year, and Tian and I came in and we're looking for a chair, and the usher goes, "Would you like to sit in the John Wayne seat?" And we thought, "Wow, yeah, that's great." So, you know, it's funny how when you travel around, you hear stories that. They're great.
Well, John Wayne, actually, the interesting part, I know Bob Shelton, you know, he's trying to develop a movie memorabilia museum here in Tucson.
That's great.
And John Wayne was one of his original financial partners in his venture.
In old Tucson.
Yeah, in old Tucson, yeah. You know, because that was like the heyday, you know, until the place burned down, you know, the sound stages burned down. But they've done a pretty good job of remodeling. They've got a show. I think they actually have a movie being shot out there right now.
Really?
Or a series.
That's great.
I'm not sure.
That's great. Yeah, movies were a big thing in Tucson. They were, and so did.
Well, they still are. I mean, it's just different types of movies. You still have the independent films coming through, and a lot of local. You weren't here for our local movie show.
No, but I listened to it. I listened to it on the podcast, Fred.
Where'd you find the podcast?
FredandJeff.com, past shows.
Oh, cool.
You know, so, the other day, a couple weeks ago, I went to the Loft Theater to their cult movie series. Some movie called Labyrinth. You guys recall that one?
Labyrinth?
Labyrinth.
Was that the one with Tom Cruise?
No, this is David Bowie.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see it initially.
I thought that was Tom Cruise.
I mean, it was the goblins come in and they steal the brother. I didn't see it initially because it was a bomb at the time, but that place was packed on Saturday night at 10 o'clock. And
really?
Everybody was just loving this movie. And actually, it was almost a classic. But
but
this is a movie.
That is a good movie.
This is a movie town, you know, and I think
people do appreciate movies here.
Yeah.
Old movies, new movies. So to put a movie memorabilia museum, that'd be great.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely going to happen. So, you know, they're just finding the right location and everything. There's a couple of other museums that's working with Bob that has other items that are museum quality, so I've been trying to talk to those guys about finding a right spot for them, too.
Well, that's great. Well, listen, with the last couple three minutes of the show, is there any way that people listening to the show can help support the Cactus Drive-In Theater project?
Well, we're eventually going to do fundraisers. So
at that point
in time, they can, you know, send money or come to our fundraiser.
And the website is cactusdriveintheater.com. Okay.
And then we have a Facebook, if you're into Facebook, because after that article the other day, everybody wrote me and says, when are you going to get a Facebook page? So that's Cactus Drive-In Theater Project is my Facebook name or whatever you call it.
Right.
So you can
find
it on there. Yeah, and then if you go to the drive-in, cactusdriveintheater.com, there's a link to our blog. So we've got a blog on there also, Connection.
Oh, that's great.
So,
now, do you have any sense of what this project is going to cost? Or is it sort of preliminary at the moment?
It's preliminary right now. We're actually working on a business plan, you know, with projections and stuff, because there's quite a lot involved. It's like pushing the stone uphill. I've got her off the ground and we're pushing, but it's going to happen. You know, there's so much support in this city that you can't believe.
Well, and there should be for something like that.
And actually, you know, we haven't done this before, but I think, you know, just to get the ball rolling up the hill some more, Fred and Jeff will kick in $100 for the project.
Absolutely.
Sounds great to me.
Yeah,
so, yeah, we'll challenge our listeners and we'll challenge Matt Russell, who precedes our show, to kick in some cash. But this is important. I mean, you know, we loved growing up having access to this kind of stuff.
And we took it for granted.
Yeah.
Seriously, I mean, when you're growing up in the 70s and 80s, you take all this stuff for granted.
Oh, yeah.
Even now, I mean, up until about a year ago, It was just something that you did.
Well, there were probably like, I think there's like, was seven or eight different drive-ins over the years in Tucson.
I remember my folks, very intelligent people, they gave Fred and I a Suburban. That was the first car we got to drive. And so when we weren't fighting over who got to drive it, we I got it one night, and I was able to load like 13 of my friends in the Suburban. Wow. And go to the Apache drive-in for like $2.
Wow.
It was, but you know, they didn't care because the first thing we did was we all ran to the snack bar and spent all of our money there.
Yeah.
So they got it one way or the other.
Oh yeah.
So it's just a great thing to do. And we appreciate you coming on the show. Well, we appreciate all the time you're spending doing this.
Well,
cuz you got a job, right?
not really.
Oh, no, you're an artist.
I'm an artist. That's my job. Yeah.
Yeah, well,
you know that and substitute teaching. So you know we're out for the summer. So
so you got plenty of time.
I got time to put this together. Yeah, but also wanted to mention if I can though that the Evergreen Development Company that actually bought the De Anza property, they've been over backwards to help us. They actually paid for the dismantling of the screen, which would have cost us thousands of dollars.
Oh, that's great.
And then there's a group called Canyon Building and Design, which actually dismantled it. And when they did, unfortunately, a couple pieces got bent, and then they jumped on it and paid to have those pieces restored.
That's great.
So we've got all the pieces now.
So we've got big businesses, small businesses, private people, the city of Tucson helping out. That's a great thing. Yeah. CactusDriveInTheater.com.
Yeah, we want to thank Tony Zinman. Tony, thanks for hanging out with us.
We want to thank our sponsors.
And Charlie, we want to thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, good luck.
Visit us at FriendJeff.com. The show will be podcast sometime tonight. And enjoy your evening. Good evening, Tucson.
Hi, I'm John Fina from Performance Footwear, and a lot of people think that after I finished playing pro football, my health insurance would not be an issue. Not true. So when I needed a great health plan for me and my family, I called the folks at Ronstadt Insurance. They hooked us up with the perfect policy from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, and we couldn't be happier. So if you're shopping for health insurance, give my friends at Ronstadt Insurance a call at 721-4848. They'll be happy to help you. Oh, and when my mom and dad turned 65, my friend Jim at Ronstadt Insurance helped them find the right Medicare plan. Call the pioneers in good service at Ronstadt Insurance, and they'll help you buy the right policy the first time.
Ronstadt Insurance is a full-service insurance agency. Give us a call at 721-4848 or look us up online at ronstadtinsurance.com. Ronstadt Insurance is an authorized agent for Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona. A representative may call you.
Nobody knew where he came from. They only knew he came in.
Hey, Tucson, this is Joe Dreyfus, host of The Visit. Heard Sundays at 5 p.m. Join me as we talk about issues of the great outdoors and Southern Arizona history, and maybe we'll even talk a few politics. Join me again at The Visit, Sundays from 5 to 6 p.m. on AM 1330, where Tucson talks.
If you had to discover why three burning high-rise buildings collapsed on September 11, 2001, something that's never happened before or since, who would you ask? This is The Baron, the host of Gnosis, and I'll be asking Richard Gage, the head of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, about the science behind the World Trade Center collapses. If you believe jet fuel can melt steel girders, you need to hear this show. It's called Gnosis, and you can only find it here, Saturdays from 3 to 4 p.m. on AM 1330, KJLL, The Jolt.
Local talk at its best.
Real talk is what this is.
AM 1330, KJLL, South Tucson.